Good morning. So glad to see you today. As we continue talking about and thinking about My Hope America with Billy Graham, and that's coming up. You know, November is going to be creeping up on us here. I've been encouraging you to get involved with this. I've been encouraging you to make a difference in somebody's life. I'm going to continue to do that. And guess what? Even when we get through our November date, I'm going to continue to encourage you to make a difference in people's lives, because that's what we're called to do. September 12th, if you want to mark it down, I will be starting a new class on My Hope. That's a Thursday night. We'll meet at 6:30, because I wanted to make it to where everybody could be here that, you know, working or whatever. And it's a five-week session. Some of you started the first session and for various reasons were not able to finish it. Come on and jump back in and take time to finish this class. So that's September 12th at 6:30. And I do look forward to seeing you there as we continue on with our training in My Hope America. I have a couple of stories to share before I get into the message, actually. And sometimes I just stand in awe of God. I've shared it before. There's a passage of Scripture that says, "Be still." And when I read that passage, it's more like God's yelling to me, saying, "Shut up." That's the message to me. And just know that I am God. The other night, I had a wedding this weekend, and it was over in Oregon. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about that too, but some of you that have the computer, you saw this on the internet. I just put it on Facebook, but I'd gone over to do the wedding rehearsal Friday night, and the storm clouds rolled in, and man, I understand Mount Carroll didn't get much, but the rest of us, we got doused. It just poured buckets. It came down hard, came down fast. At one time, it was coming sideways like this. And I was in Oregon, and I was headed home from Oregon, and my years working with conservation, I know all these little back roads and these little side roads, and I decided to take them coming home because supposedly it'd be faster, less traffic, all this kind of stuff. There was no traffic. And I'm driving, and as I was driving down the road, and I've never had this happen before, but it was special. And what happened is, I'm driving and the rain's coming down hard, wipers are on full, but there's lights. And these lights are flashing in front of me and then behind me and then off to this side of me and off to this side of me and here, completely encircling my vehicle. And as I'm driving along the road, there was this awareness, this presence that, wow, God is doing something great. You know, he's sending the rain to heal the land, and he's doing this wonderful thing. And as I'm driving, and folks, I've not lost my mind. I'm just telling you what I felt. As I'm driving, it's as if he just kind of picked up my vehicle and me and held us in his arms and said, "Watch the show. Watch the show." Now, I stayed my eyes on the road, okay? But I found myself, with all of this going on around me, I found myself in a state of worship. It was a very, very special time, all by myself, nobody with me. And this went on for miles and miles and miles. Actually, when I came back out to the highway and there was traffic, I felt like turning around and going back the other way, because suddenly I missed what was going on there. And as I was driving and as I was thinking about what God was doing, I became aware, and I think I put this in my post too, I became aware that my truck had a leak, because there was water that rolled from my cheek and dropped down on my shirt over my heart. You know, if God can heal a stressed and a dry land, he can heal a stressed and a dry heart. And I question, was the storm really for the land? Or maybe, perhaps, it was for me. The truth is, it was probably for both. Very special time. And I hope someday you folks have an experience like that where you just become so aware of God and His great, great power. So I had the wedding, not near as wonderful as that time driving home in the rain on Friday night. And the couple is standing in front of me. And here's the crowd. A beautiful place is called Oak Lane. It's over the other side of Oregon, and it's set up to do these weddings. Beautiful place, absolutely fantastic. Outside wedding, and I'm standing there, and I'm going on, and as I go into to the vows, I say, "Do you, Dan, take Emily to be your lawfully wedded wife?" And people started laughing, and I'm thinking, what's funny about that? And then it dawned on me. His name was Don. Actually, he looked at me and said, "Who's Dan?" But it was a good time. It was a good wedding last night, and an honor to be able to do that and see that young couple come together. Well, today we celebrate, as every year, Labor Day coming up tomorrow, and time where the working man gets celebrated. But I'm going to talk today a little bit about the high calling of work. And some of you aren't going to like what I'm going to say. I'm telling you that. You know, I find that more and more I have to put these qualifying statements in. God has told me that my job is to tell you the truth according to His word. So that's my job. And as I share some things with you today, I'm not trying to step on toes, but I hope it rings a bell in the mind and the heart of everybody here, because it is kind of an important thing. There's an employee bulletin board, and it contained the following memo. It said, "In case of fire, flee the building with the same reckless abandon that occurs each day at quitting time." Folks, 64% of U.S. workers enjoy their work a great deal. 29% enjoy it somewhat, while just 5% don't care for work at all. And when it comes to the work-life balance, only about 50% feel that they've got things down. They're balancing their work and their family life, and they've got that taken care of. Every month, workers bring lunch to work 8 days. They eat while working 7.5 days. And buy lunch at or near work 5.9 days. Isn't this interesting? I love statistics. They skip lunch entirely 3.5 days a month. 60% of workers work nonstop through their shift without taking any break. 28% of women say a snack break would help them to be more productive. But here's the study that I found really interesting. 60% of younger workers, those in the like 18 to 25 range, 60% of those younger workers claim that free ice cream would boost their morale. And that study was conducted by Dreyer's Grand Ice Cream Company. So the question, what do you do for a living? I'm going to do something. I'm going to count three, and I want you to say what you do for a living back to me, all right? And just tell me what it is you do. Okay, and if you're retired, say retired. I guess if you're just plain tired, you could say that too. One, two, three. Okay, good. Now I know what everybody does. Work's important. And what we forget, and I hear it all the time. By the way, do you know what the best job is you ever had? The job you just left. You know what the worst job is you ever had? the job you have now. And you know what the best one's going to be? The next job. People look at things that way. And all the time, and I hear it from people after people after people, men, women, it doesn't matter. They say the same thing. My boss is a jerk. I hate my job. I don't like what I do. I hate getting up in the mornings. I don't like to work weekends. My job just stinks. It's puke. It's yuck. It's icky. Did I say puke? I can't say that in church. And they complain, and they grumble, and how horrible my job is, except for this, when they receive the check, they don't cry when they cash it. Well, some do. But complain, 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 and I have seen it over and over and over again. Guess what, Pastor? I prayed about this job, and I wanted this job, and it's such a great job, and the people are going to be great to work with. They're wonderful people. The one I love is, they're Christians. And then a few months later, they're not much of a Christian. What a terrible job. You ought to see how they treat me. You ought to hear what they say to me. You ought to look at my hours. I don't like them. And you know what? I don't think they like me. My supervisor. Sorry, Rob. No, I'm not going to pick on you. My wife loves her job. She really does. A lot.
Just your supervisor, right?
Yeah. So what does the Bible say about work? It's actually found in Colossians 3, verse 17, and then it goes on into verses 22 to 24. So listen as I read this. You grumblers, you complainers, those of you who just hate what you're doing and hate waking up in the morning and going to work, this is the word of the Lord to you today. And whatever you do, whatever, does that mean everything? Yeah, yes, please respond. Of course, whatever you do, everything you do, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through Christ. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do we live that? First of all, do we believe that? Is that what we're supposed to do? The Bible said it, I believe it, that settles it. I'm not going to question this. Sorry, grumblers, complainers, gripes. I don't think that's doing it the way God wants us to. It goes on in verse 22, and it says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it not only when their eye is on you and to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ that you are serving. This begins to shift our attitude a little bit about our jobs, doesn't it? Now, I'll tell you who will shift their attitudes. Those who are really walking and wanting to serve God. Because we want the world to see Christ in us in all things. And when God says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. Well, that's a heavy call. Most of the time, when we think of church, we think of Sunday. Sunday's coming, it's time to get ready, it's time to go to church, and we're going to walk in, we're going to sit down, we're going to have a great time, we're going to sing songs, and we're going to worship, or we're going to do this at church. We think of Sunday. But you know what? Sunday is really about Monday. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Sunday is about those things. If our job as Christians was simply to get together and worship God, guess what? We could do that in heaven. If that's all we had to do was get together and worship God, we could do that in heaven. But our job is more than that. And that's why God has us strategically placed right where we are. Right where we're at. That job that you have, did you think God provided it for you? The high calling to work is a call to transform our organizations, our jobs, and our responsibilities. It's a call to consider how industries such as banking, consulting, education, and manufacturing must change. It is a call to explore the right view of strategic planning or marketing or finance or sales and various other roles. Our work can't remain the same when we recognize its eternal purpose. And you know what? If you're on an assembly line putting a piece together, that's not the eternal purpose that you're there for. You're there as a child of God to be His witness to those around you. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands, but how many of you have gotten drawn into the company gripes? You know, you hear it so much you get sick of it. And then it doesn't stop, so you figure, well, if they're griping and complaining, I may as well do the same thing. Once we realize our high calling of work, then the real work begins. And that's to make a difference. So how can we transform our work until it becomes worship? I got another passage for you. The first one that we looked at, if you'll remember, says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. This next one kind of tells us how to do it. And it's found in Philippians 4, verse 8, one of my favorites. It says this, finally, brothers and sisters, finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. What would happen? What would happen if Philippians 4:8 was our job description? You know, you go in and the boss says, here's your new job description, and it has down there Philippians 4:8, and this is what your job is, and this is how you're supposed to do it. The answer comes actually in Matthew 5:37. It says, simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. It's taking a stand. When you're a Christian, everything you do has Jesus' name written on it. You follow me? When you're a Christian, you have a life to live, and you need to understand this, and it can be so hard. It can be so difficult. Because when you're a Christian, people are looking at you. And the minute you admit, you confess, you live your life for Jesus Christ, people are going to look at you, and they're going to look for things to mess up or where you mess up. They're going to look for the profanity to come out of your mouth. Because that's what everybody else does. They're going to look for the anger and the hostility. My boss is such a jerk. I'm just going to quit this job. And you walk out and you slam the door. Oh yeah, that's what everybody else does. Or you make happy sounds. No. When you're a Christian, either you are going to live it or you're not. And if you're going to say, I am a Christian, your yes has to be yes. This is my job. This is where God wants me. This is what I'm going to live. This is how I'm going to walk. This is how I'm going to talk. I'm not going to give in to dirty jokes. I'm not going to give in to a bunch of profanity and foul language. I'm not going to give in to the hit the bars after work. I'm not going to give in to the things that take me away from my family and keep me from being the father or the husband that I should be or the wife or the mother that I should be, because I am a Christian and my word is yes to God. Not no. You can't have both. It doesn't work. You cannot be a Sunday morning Christian and a Monday morning sinner and claim to have both. When you're a Christian, people are looking. Whatever is noble, the word that is translated in that passage as noble, it denotes a seriousness of purpose and self-respect in conduct. 1 Timothy 2:2 translates that same word as honest. Folks, your job, your work, what you do, you are to be honest in that job. You ever hear the phrase, an honest day's work for an honest day's dollar? You know what? That's not very popular anymore. Not very popular. But that is God's definition. First Timothy 2:2, it says this, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Am I honest in my approach to work? Do I, and I have to ask myself the same question, do I give a week's worth of work for a week's pay? As an employee, I will make it my job to have the right attitude. Every day when I wake up, every day, I say, Lord, this is your day. And whatever I encounter, whatever I do, let me do it as you are leading. When you start looking at work as a way of serving God, your whole attitude changes. Do bad things happen on workplaces? Yeah. Do people get fired? Yeah. Are there bosses that are really mean, cruel people? Oh, most definitely. Are there bosses that yell at employees? Yeah. Cuss them out? Yeah. Do the employees deserve that? No. But folks, we walk as a Christian the way God wants us to. That's our stand. And it doesn't matter what they say, and it doesn't matter what comes down that way. You maintain your walk with Christ. Do I go to work with a bad attitude? Oswald Chambers says, Moods don't go by praying. Moods go by kicking them. Our words come out of our attitudes. And we can let circumstances shape our perspective, or we can use a good perspective to shape our circumstances. And that's in that high calling of our daily work. Did you realize that most of the time, you spend more time with your coworkers than you actually do with your family? You're spending hours every day with your coworkers. I seriously doubt if even after you get home, if those hours are spent with family. Especially the older the family gets. Kids are busy. No, it just doesn't happen. So where do you really need to model Christ? In the workplace. And yes, you do need to model Christ at home. As an employee, I'm going to make it my job to think pure thoughts about my boss and my fellow employees? Do I have to? Only if we want to believe what we are told. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure. I guess that means yes, doesn't it? But my boss isn't worth that. Yeah, he is. She is. Because your boss is still a child of God, created by Him. So you need to show them the pure thoughts and the respect that should go there. Well, respect has to be earned. They don't treat me with respect. Why should I treat them with respect? Because you're a Christian. You've been called to a higher standing. That goes along with it. As an employee, I will make it my job to do my work as if to make my boss say, I love it. And that's what the word lovely means when we read it in our earlier passage. Literally, it's saying that whatever pushes me toward love, that's what I ought to be thinking about, and I will do as I think. As an employee, I will make it my job to be admirable. You know, when my employer talks about my work, does he say good things? Or are they having to redo it because I've not given it my best? Our work itself has an intrinsic value to God. Did you know that? So doing a good job is actually an act of worship. So where do you stand? Where are you? Some of you I know are retired and you're working. But what is your attitude towards work today? What is your attitude towards your boss and co-workers today? My hope, my desire, and my prayer, especially as we think about things coming up, with my hope, is that you in the workplace and in that environment around you are standing as Christ wants you to stand. It doesn't matter what the world does, because God loves us and He can take us through it. And you know, if your attitude changes about work, it'll change the attitude of those around you. Let's bow our heads. Labor Day. And celebrating the workers of America. But we also celebrate Christ. And we celebrate what He means in our lives. Heavenly Father, this morning I thank You for those who are working in various capacities. Father, sometimes it takes a great deal of strength to tolerate the stuff going on around us. But Lord, it's our desire. It's our heart that those around us would see You. And if it's in the workplace, Father, help us to control our anger. Help us to control our tongue. Help us to control our attitude, that our attitude would be that which You want it to be. That our minds would think of those things that are lovely and pure and right and admirable. That we would focus on them and not all of the negatives around us. Help us to gain a new appreciation, Lord, for the work that You have given and to realize that You really have given it to us. And You have given us a call in the workplace to be the same people we are on Sundays. to be that Christian on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever the work week might be. Father, we just lift this to you in Jesus' name.